Mr. Nolly Realfall.
I know the Americans have dropped tinfoil, obviously anti-radar stuff. And, we were picking it up and bringing it back to the camp, and they were horrified, you know, thought it was impregnated with germs. It's quite funny to see their reaction.
Were you getting any news about the likelihood of being released?
Well, they'd have us on parade occasionally and just tell us that the Americans have sabotaged the peace talks, and it was always the Americans sabotaged it, and we wouldn't be going home after all. And that's how it went on from day to day. They build up your hopes 1 minute and then sort of blame it on the Americans, you know, that you wouldn't be coming home.
Were you allowed to have any contact with your relatives at home?
After about 12 months, I believe, they allowed us to write back, you know, or write a letter, and they gave us a bit of rice paper, and we were allowed to write a letter, and that was the first time, you know. They couldn't understand why we wanted to write home. Apparently they never did, and once they left home, the Chinese army, they never had contact with their people back home, and they couldn't understand why we wanted to.
Did any of the British POWs collaborate, if you can use that word?
We had one or two, as I can recall. I know when we finally got released, they didn't put them on the boat with us. They flew them home especially, I think. Otherwise, they'd have been overboard, I think.
Were they from the Gloucesters?
Yes, yeah. Well, one or two, I think, from the Gloucesters. Pretty sure they were Gloucesters.
What form did the collaboration take?
Well, there was one, I think, broadcast, you know, on the Chinese radio about it.
Was there any attempt to persuade you to stay in a communist country?
No, not personally, nor none of the other. I think some of them did. What they used to do was, the ones who were collaborating with them, they'd take them up to their HQ, and they obviously had better food and stuff like that there, and they were using them for propaganda purposes.
Did you
segregated from us? They obviously wouldn't let them back in with us. They'd have been beat up, sure.
Did you personally feel that you would ever make it back home?
Oh, yes. I think just a matter of time, but how long was the problem?
How did the news come that you were going back?
I think the only time we believed it was when they built some field kitchens to bake some bread for us to take on the journey back down, you know, back down to Panmunjom. They had a camp down there just outside Panmunjom, and they moved us down to there. But everyone was agreed that if it fell through again, we weren't going to go back to the camp. We were going to make a break for it. We were that close to the border that, and make a break for it.
How were you transported to Panmunjom?
In lorries.
And what condition were you in by the time you reached there?
Well, we were quite good actually, because the last 6 months they obviously knew it was going to wrap up, and they stopped all work parties, and the food got a lot better. In fact, it was the extreme from what it was initially. It was like holiday camp the last 6 months. It was in the summer, you know, sunshine. They allowed us into the river, get down there, washing and swimming, you know, and food improved. physically, we weren't too bad at all, I think, by the time we moved down. They had medical teams come in by then. Most of the distillery was cleared up. The beriberi, night blindness and stuff like that improved because of the food issue. So,
did you get beriberi?
I had it, yeah. Well, I think most people did in the camp.
What were the symptoms for you?
Well, we had swollen legs, you know, uselessness with your limbs, and night blindness, what we call night blindness, and it started getting dusk. We're blind as a bat, we couldn't see. We found out since that was vitamin deficiency.
Did you know what was the cause of these symptoms?
Well, we knew beriberi was lack of vitamins, but there was just nothing there we could do about it.
Were you given any unusual foods during your captivity?
A seaweed. Apparently that's quite popular in China. We had that. No, I don't think so. Not, we had millet, which, you know, canary food. We had that. Mostly grain, you know, different grains. We had sorghum, millet, maize, rice. That was it, basically.
Any unusual carcasses of animals?
No, we had pigs and cows once. But on their propaganda thing, it sounded very nice. You know, I think the second Christmas we were there, they said about the menu was pork. But what they failed to mention was just one pig amongst, you know, hundreds of men. You know, you had a few sort of little chunks, fatty chunks with all the hairs still sticking out, mixed in with the rice or sorghum. Chickens was the same, you know. You get half a dozen chickens amongst the hundreds of you.
Ever get fish?
Occasionally, yeah. But, a couple of times I think we have fish. That was dried fish mainly.
What was the handover procedure like at Panmunjom?
Well, what they done, they had you in this holding camp, and each day they call out so many names, about 30 of you, I think. May have been more. And those were the ones who were being handed over that day. And this went on for quite a while, you know, so many a day being handed over. They'd load you up and drive off in your trucks and hit the midway point between the two lines, you were handed over.
Did you ever get any news from home, like the coronation or anything like that?
We did eventually. We didn't at first. The last few months we were in the camp, we heard about that. You know, like I say, letters from home. We never had any initially. Towards the end, we got a few in. I had about three or four letters, I think. When I got back home, my father had died while I was away, which I didn't know about. My mother met me at Southampton with my brother. I found out then that she'd had a telegram reporting me killed in action on the 25th, which was the last day of the battle. And for 12 months, she thought I was killed.
Had she believed it?
Oh, yes, yeah. Insurance had paid out on me, and just prior to her getting my first letter. And when she approached the insurance company, they said once they paid out, they never get it back, never take it back.
How?
I still got the telegram here.
How could that happen, that you were reported dead when nobody had actually seen it?
I don't really know. I had a mate of mine, another corporal, Bishop. He was killed on the way out, and he was similar build to me, same colour hair, ginger at the time. He had tattoos on his arm, same as me, and whether someone mistook him for me and reported me, killed, not in.
But you'd obviously received news that you were alive whilst you were still a POW.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
Was that from a letter you sent home?
That's one of the letters, yeah. The first one, funny enough, you know, a bit of rice paper.